Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Negler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Monday? Not a victory Monday, unfortunately, after the Packers tied the Dallas Cowboys 40-40 down there in Jerry World. Man, I'm going over this game, rewatching it a couple times today. Once again, a game the Packers had control of, that was then thrown off kilter because of special teams, and then things really started to spiral. But certainly some real positives you can take away, whether it's the play of Jordan Love. You saw some offensive linemen really come to the fore and solidify themselves throughout that contest. I thought the offensive line as a whole played better as the game went along. You saw Josh Jacobs looking like his old self, some really nice cuts and great runs. Certainly saw outstanding quarterback play from Jordan Love throughout, an offense that continuously marched down the field, took the lead, had it taken away, went out there, got it back, had it taken away, go out there, tie the game, send it to overtime. I mean, continuously, no matter what they threw at Jordan in the offense, they found a way to overcome it. Clearly, the fulcrum of this game is twofold. One, at the end of the first half, the decision from LaFleur to try and go get points with only one timeout and then having to utilize that timeout. You got a first and 15 after a false start penalty. Decide to still try and push the ball down the field. It's a little mystifying. It's a little disappointing for a team that was, like I said, despite the drive that the Cowboys had gone on to score and get themselves back into the game, the decision to be as aggressive as he was there at the end of the half is really baffling. And then, of course, fast forward to the end of the game. I talked about this with Andy Herman on Let's Talk Football, which is dropped here on the channel. Make sure you check that out when we're done. The operation there at the end of the overtime period and some of the decisions that were made, not just play-calling-wise, but approach-wise, understandably, the Packers were worried about giving the Cowboys time remaining on the clock. And that was seemingly the overarching kind of driver that was, you know, overriding everything regarding the decisions they made as how they approached that last drive. But man, the lack of urgency in and out of the huddle at the line of scrimmage after certain plays, it's really, really disappointing for a team that we've seen all summer long in training camp work on situational football, work on these exact type of scenarios, and saw more urgency in those practices than I saw there in Dallas last night. I don't know what LaFleur needs to do to snap these guys to attention, but certainly this is a wake-up call. And I'm not sitting here saying that, you know, the season's over or LaFleur is in trouble or anything like that. It is a long season. They are 2-1-1 heading into their bye week. And you've got the first kind of chunk, the first quarter, so to speak, of your season in the rearview mirror with a chance to kind of pull back and reflect and see what you need to work on, which is always going to be a lot, right? But yeah, the situational awareness and or approaches certainly left something to be desired, especially for a game that, again, much like in the Cleveland contest, the Packers had a chance to win the game if they can just control it. Kind of harkens back to what Brian Gutekunst was talking about in his end of season presser last year. You know, these are games that are winnable on the road, hostile environment, but you have a chance to steal a victory. Because let's face it, through the first 3 weeks, the Packers played near dominant defense. Last night, it all fell apart. Now, no doubt about it, you have to tip your cap to the Dallas Cowboys because Schottenheimer had an excellent game plan, great job calling plays throughout that contest, and then Dak Prescott just played out of his mind. A phenomenal job knowing where to go with the ball, getting the ball out of his hands in a timely manner because, man, Micah Parsons was coming. He was coming all night, breathing down his neck, one step away several times from blowing up the quarterback. But the Cowboys knew what they needed to do, and they operated with incredible efficiency. And of course, the frustration, if you're a Packers fan, is how nothing really changed approach-wise on the defensive side of the ball. There were a couple times where they came up and played a little bit more press, quote-unquote. But for the most part, they, you know, played pretty, I'm not going to say soft, but off coverage. And the Cowboys were more than happy to take advantage of that. And then compounding that issue was the missed tackles. So much bad tackling last night. And that's the first time that's really reared its ugly head throughout a game in 2025. I mean, there's always going to be a missed tackle or two. You expect that to occur throughout a game. But, man, the sheer number of missed tackles and repeated missed tackles by guys like Edrian Cooper, who, man, he played a rough game last night when it comes to getting guys on the ground, limiting these short passes that you knew were coming. So many times the Cowboys were, you know, getting the ball out of Dak's hand and could have been limited to a 2 or 3 yard gain, but that play would turn into a 5, 6, even 8 or 9 yard play because of missed tackles. And it wasn't just Edrian, it was everybody. I mean, everybody on defense chipped in. So that is certainly something that you got to suspect they talk about, address, drill, emphasize, whatever you want to do, whatever you want to say throughout the entirety of the bye week into practice, ramping up to the Bengals game. I mean, those are all things that are going to have to get some attention. But pulling back 30,000 feet, heading into a bye week after the first four games, I don't even, you know, want to get into it about, oh, this team's never going to win a Super Bowl. The LaFleur's never going to get them there, blah, 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 blah. There's such a long way to go. It's a good break point. I like that the bye week is falling where it is, given kind of the challenges that we saw through these past 2 weeks. I have little doubt that this team is going to continue to play at a high level through most, if not all, of this season and give us something to cheer for going down the stretch there in December. Right now, it really sucks having to wait 2 weeks to see them play again. I understand that. Frustrating after a freaking tie. But there's still a boatload of talent on this team. And again, promising stuff on offense, really promising stuff from some of the young offensive linemen. Hopefully they continue to get better and they get healthier up front. Jordan and company can still continue to move the ball and score points. Definitely need that defense to get back to what we saw those first 3 weeks. No question about it. What's going on, everybody? Good to see everybody chiming in on the old YouTube chat, Facebook as well, Twitter, Twitch. You guys are everywhere. Before we get going, let me give a shout out to our friends over at ThetaCare. ThetaCare is a proud sponsor of Cheesehead TV. Whether you're scoring touchdowns or cheering from the sidelines, ThetaCare is your most valuable partner in health. From injury prevention to recovery, they've got your back and your knees and your shoulders too. You can find out more information at thetacare.org. Do it, folks. If you need the help there in the Wisconsin area, cannot do better than ThetaCare. Jerry, starting us off with a super chat. How you doing, buddy? I don't think this team is far from being truly elite. I think with getting a few pieces in the right place, including healthy, we can beat anyone. I totally agree, man. That's what makes these last 2 weeks so frustrating. They should have won both those games. You know, whether you're talking about the offense being unable to block anybody in Cleveland, whether you're talking about the defense being unable to stop anybody in Dallas, or whether you're talking about special teams contributing yet again to the swing of a game that ended up tied where you took a point away from yourself and gave them two. It's very, very frustrating. But that speaks to how important it is situationally to get things right. You have an opportunity, despite all of that, to win the game, and don't. Mimsy, what's up? Matt's tendencies aren't getting better. Year 7. I always love these. What tendencies would those be? I mean, the one that does frustrate me is the seeming reticence to go for it on fourth downs within, like, kind of the 50-yard marker, whether even on your own end, but certainly on the plus side of the 50. He used to be good for, you know, you can mark it up. If they are on the plus side of the 50 and it's 4th and 5 or less, they're going for it. But in the last couple of years, that has completely changed. And if I see one more instance where they go out there, it's 4th and whatever, and Jordan Love barks out his cadence, and the running back does the stupid little hop over and then comes back in, and they continue the hard count. No one jumps. They take the penalty, and they punt away. I am going to jump out a window. I am so sick of that play. You know why no one ever jumps? Because you never hike it. You never run a play. Why would anyone ever jump offsides? And that's the frustrating part. They used to do it all the time. Matt used to be wonderful at that. Mr. All Gas, No Brakes has run out of petrol. Driving me nuts, man. Ed, what's up? Preseason is over. Are we a playoff team or a team with talent that may or may not show up on Sunday? Oh, they're a playoff team, Ed. Zero doubt in my mind. You talk about preseason, though. It is interesting to see. We've got that first kind of quarter of the season. I know it's not really a quarter anymore because of the extra game, but bear with me. That first quarter of the season to reassess and look at what you've done and try and refine things and maybe find other avenues that you can go down if certain things aren't working, etc. You do have a body of work now to look at with this group. Now, you're going to get more guys back down the line. You're going to get Jaden Reed back, but sooner than that, you're going to get Christian Watson in the mix. That's exciting stuff. I like this. I'm down with that. But yeah, man, like these last two games have been frustrating without a question, but don't sell this team short. It is still very good. JT, what's up? Pay Dobbs. We can't let him walk. I was having a back and forth about this on Twitter this morning. I'll still be very surprised if they pay him. I think they'll let him hit the market. I think they'll say, if you don't find anything you like out there, if you don't find your number, come on back to us. We'd love to have you back at our number. However, I do think the Packers' number will be pretty minimal. And I do think Dobbs will find a payday in free agency. You can't pay everybody. And I understand Dobbs is coming off a monster game. No question about it. He's got a connection with Jordan you can't replicate. Absolutely love the player. But they're going to continue to bring up and develop these young guys that they have on the roster. Who have, you know, a little bit more athletic upside, a little bit higher ceilings, and trying to get better. And that, I mean, I understand, like I said, he's coming off a monster game. I love Romeo Dobbs. I did a whole thing last week about how they had to get him more involved, and God bless him, they finally did. But nothing says that Matthew Golden can't become that player in a year or two. Nothing says that, you know, Christian Watson can't develop into that type of, you know, feed him in the red zone in particular type threat. You know, nothing says Savion Williams can't become that guy. They're going to continue to develop these guys. And that's just how they roll. Keith, thanks for the super chat, man. I'll say the same thing I said after the 2024 playoff loss to the Eagles. You are the sum of your habits. Habits and a team's identity get formed within the first 4 to 6 weeks of a season. Season ain't over, but red flags abound. Okay, there are certainly some red flags. I'll give you that. There's been a couple games here in a row where you had a chance to close the deal, to control the game and win it, and you didn't. But I do find it interesting that your summation is only negative. There's plenty of green shoots, too. It's about cultivating those green shoots, watching them grow, and then hopefully getting better throughout the season. How they're playing those first 4 to 6 games certainly can form an identity, but that's never the end. I mean, hell, you talk about the 2024 playoff loss to the Eagles. What about the 2023 run at the end of the year? Jordan Love was playing out of his mind, and they got to the divisional round of the playoffs. Certainly, at the start of that year, they didn't look anything like they looked in December. Their identity, quote-unquote, to your point, in the first 4 to 6 weeks of 2023 was certainly not even close to what they were December into January of that season. You know, I think people get so wrapped up in narratives and identity, all the kind of buzzwords we talk about with teams from year to year. But, man, it is about how you're playing down the stretch of your season and into the playoffs. Last year, I think we all felt it. You're talking about 2024. We all knew. We all felt it. The way they were incapable of playing with the best teams in the NFC, the way they kept shooting themselves in the foot, the way they really were unable to close the deal at the end of games against the best teams. You know, I get it. These last 2 days have been, or the last 2 games have been frustrating. But you can tell this team is very different than the 2024 team already. At least I can. Your mileage may vary. But none of that, again, means much of anything. What does matter is how they're playing down the stretch. Getting better throughout the season is the most important thing. Portmaster, what's up, man? Jekyll and Hyde team is hard to predict week to week, but also within a single game, I expect ebb and flow, not tsunami waves back and forth. Yeah, that's the upsetting thing when there's a complete lack of complementary football. There's an inability to pick up the other kind of units, right? The offense can't do it alone. Can't continue to give you the lead and then the defense continuing to kind of give it back, right? Special teams can't be a part of the reason why you're continuously behind the eight ball, right? That is frustrating. And that is something that needs to get smoothed out as the season goes along. Greg, thank you so much, man. I know you talked about self-scouting in the past over a bye week. How much does Matt LaFleur really take to heart any self-scouting of his own performance? Seems like he suffers from the same mistakes over and over. Too critical? I don't think it's too critical because I think that's the perception, and perception is reality, right? I think most folks are going to draw that conclusion, which I completely understand. The problem is, of course, is that we know they go over things every single game, every single drive, every single moment, thing, looking at what they did, what the call was, what the defense was, what the defense was going against the offense, what was the coverage, what were they doing as far as protection, blah, 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 blah. And they also look at decisions made throughout the games, right? Now, I can't say with any certainty what their, you know, conclusions might be, and they might kind of be whatever they are as far as being self-critical. Only the people in the building know that, you know. But I do know, you know, we've talked to plenty of people, both on and off the record throughout the years, where, yeah, this week is, you know, very much spent as a deep dive into everything that's transpired up to this point. You know, how much of that they take on board and take away from it and change things or try to build on things, only the people in the building can say. Don Vito, what's up? I'm hearing fire Matt LaFleur and hire who? Be more aggressive. They were, and it backfired. Was it perfect? No. That said, time for Bisaccia to bounce. No one's getting fired. Bad teams are the ones who fire people in the middle of the year. Packers will continue on, and I would encourage everybody. I tried to get him on the channel today, but it didn't line up, apparently. I would encourage everybody to read Justice's piece over at Acme Packing Company regarding the field goal protection issues the last 2 weeks. Needless to say, man, Bisaccia, he's the special teams coordinator. The buck stops with him. There are certainly frustrations there. But it is a Matt LaFleur issue, given the personnel on hand. Read Justice, because I think he's onto something there. Joe, what's up, man? Special teams coaches change, but the results stay the same. Is there something about how the Packers organization approaches special teams that leads to failure? It's an interesting question, but man, they've changed their entire approach. They used to be an afterthought. They didn't used to spend on special teams coordinators, blah, blah, blah. They used to just have lots of kind of bodies, revolving door of undrafted dudes and rookies and whatever. But man, they've paid Rich Bisaccia. He's the highest paid special teams coordinator in the land. They got multiple roster decisions driven by special teams, guys on the roster who are there to help because they're good on special teams. You know, their approach is a complete 180 from what it used to be, and we're still here bemoaning special teams. At some point, it's like, you know, it's never going to be perfect. I don't need it to be perfect. I need it to be competent. And that's what seems to elude them. And that's the frustration. But man, I can't say it's Green Bay's approach because they completely changed their approach and it's still malfunctioning. Johnny, what's up, man? At the beginning of the season, I hated the week 5 bye week. Boy, was I wrong. Couldn't come at a better time. I know anybody who's watched this channel for any length of time knows I've been saying everybody bemoans whenever, if it's not perfectly in the middle of the season, everyone gets upset about a late bye or an early bye or whatever. The bye always comes at a good time. Always. Marshall, what's up, man? So did Matt say this tie was on him also? In so many words, I mean, I don't know if you, his post-game press conference is available to you here on YouTube. The Packers have a YouTube channel that you can watch. But for the most part, yeah, he blamed himself for his approach, certainly at the end of the first half. I think of all the things that I think bugged him out coming out of that game, I think rightfully so, by the way, his trying to push for points at the end of the half that completely swung this game, that falls squarely on him. And he took absolute ownership of that. Soder, what's up, man? Brown's game was styled after 1975 to 79. Last night was peak 80 to 83. Can't wait for the Forrest Gregg retrospective against the Bengals. Forrest sold team. Yeah, it was reminiscent, right? Lynn Dickey and company throwing around the yard. Big points. Big national game. I just like the outcome of that, you know, game against Washington with Dickey, Kaufman, Lofton and company a lot better than the outcome last night. But yeah, you ain't wrong. Don Vito, thanks again, man. Also, had Jordan thrown a pick at the end, all we'd hear is love isn't him. Why not just kick? Fans are never happy. Super chat by ThetaCare. Yeah, you're not wrong, man. People are going to bitch regardless. Even if they had won that game last night, even if Jordan had gotten that final throw, miraculously threaded a needle and Golden catches it and they score a touchdown and win the game, right? I guarantee you, all anyone's talking about today in the Packers' fear is what's wrong with the defense. The defense is terrible, blah, blah, blah. You know, people are always, if it bleeds, it leads. Almost always. Howard, thank you, sir. Couldn't access Watch Party or Grossy last night. Good grief, Chris Collinsworth is annoying. Well, that'll teach you to be away from YouTube, sir. I mean, what's so frustrating, and I haven't had to listen to him for quite some time now when the Packers are on playing Sunday Night Football because we've been doing Watch Party. But when I watch other games that he's doing, it is sad because he used to be. When he started, he was really good. And, yeah, talk about just losing your fastball. No doubt about it. Jerry, what's up? Can we start drafting only O-linemen again? LOL. Hey, like I said at the top, shout out to everybody who was out there. I thought everybody played better as the game went along. Zero question, especially in the run game. As that second half wore on, they were really able to move the football on the ground. And I thought some of that, yes, was the backs. Josh, I thought, had a really good game. And I think Emmanuel Wilson, talk about an unsung hero last night. Great game from Wilson. But much of what they were able to do was because they were finally getting some work done up front. And in pass pro, I thought for the most part, they held up really well. So you go into a hostile environment, you're on the road, you're down two linemen, and you come out with 40 points on offense. That's a pretty damn good day at the offense, which, by the way, as much as we like gripe about LaFleur and some of the decision-making and the approach, whatever, you also do have to tip your cap to LaFleur, Stenovich, Butkus, etc., for the job they did making that all work with that offensive line in that building. It's impressive. That's a really good outing on offense. You know, not everything is doom and gloom. Mimsy, what's up? Unfortunate returns for our free agent signings. Cornerback, O-line, bad. I don't know about that last part, dude. Cornerbacks certainly were not in great position at times to break on some of the shorter stuff the Cowboys were throwing at them. But if you're obviously referencing Hobbs and Banks. I mean, Hobbs was hurt all summer long, didn't have a training camp, and is now rounding into shape after, what, limited action in two games? Banks literally was hurt the first day in pads, was in and out of everything they did all summer, and has been basically in and out since the start of the season. I get everybody has to rush to judgment. It's like requirement on the internet, but can we let it play out just a little bit before declaring it a total bust? I know that's insane talk here on the We Need Instant Takes 24/7 internet, but my guys, let's give them a bit, just a bit. Let's let it play out throughout at least one season. By the way, they're both signed to multi-year deals. Can we let it play out for one season? Just one season before we decide, oh, it's a terrible signing. I know, again, I'm asking for patience on Al Gore's internet, which is never smart. Aaronies, thank you for the super chat. Never been happier to see a week five bye. Clear talent all over the field, but things need refining in every aspect or we'll keep having close losses or, God forbid, another tie. I mean, you're not wrong. You do have to refine things and you do have to get better and you have to build on what, you know, the issues were and the calculations you made that maybe didn't pay off, etc. But there's, yeah, to your point, tons of talent. Tons of talent. And it is a matchup league. I mean, certainly the game against the Bengals won't look anything like the Cowboys game or the Browns game, but situationally, got to be on point. When you have an ability or a moment where you can control and finish the game, go win the game, you got to do it. Got to do it. Amy, how are you? Was at the game last night, lost my voice, still want to puke today. That was too much for me. If anything could get me over that Browns ending, that did. Yeah, I'll admit, when it got to 4th and 6 on that overtime drive, I felt physically ill. Like, I was nauseous. And I kind of, you know, I tweeted, I do not feel well, but I legit didn't. I was heart in throat time, no doubt about it. But today, step back, get a little perspective. Mike Witt, thanks again. Our secondary is our biggest weakness. Cornerback was a need in the offseason, and they didn't draft one until the 7th round. Always thought that was kind of weird. Mike, you would overreact to like a thimble full of water being poured on concrete. Oh my God, there's water on the concrete. They've been really good through 3 games. They had a really rough night against a team that had a great plan for them. I'm asking you, I'm begging you to chill. I mean, through 3 games, they had absolutely shut down everybody in the air. Every wide receiver. Nobody did nothing. One team has success, and you're like, oh, should have drafted someone in the 1st round. Should have drafted someone. Oh, it was always the problem. You guys are so quick, man. Out of 4 games, 3 of them, they balled out. They had 1 bad game. Can we just relax a little bit on saying, well, it's a major problem? Let's see what happens next game, the next couple games, after the Packers go over this tape and the approach that Dallas took that undoubtedly other teams will be looking at and see how they respond. I'm just asking you, just take a step back, take a breath, join me. Marshall Duke, what's up? Do you think the playbook has become too vanilla? Seems like there is a minimal creativity. Not asking for Ben Johnson's playbook, but it looks like 2015 in Seattle when we were up 19-7. I mean, I don't know. It's hard for me to sit here and say it's not creative enough when you've got like throwback from Savion Williams to Jordan Love trying to hit a bomb deep. And I think they've got something there if Savion can make a faster throw. They had that play where they got a convoy for Josh Jacobs up the sideline where Love's like threatening to run and then throws it. I mean, there's some creativity there. Now, it's not going to all be like craziness. And also, they've been pretty damn creative when it comes to getting the ball in Savion Williams' hands. So, I don't know, man. It's hard for me to sit here and say like, oh, they're not being creative enough when they're putting up 40 points and moving the ball at will. I'm kind of okay with it. I'm kind of all right. Mike, thanks again. Number 9 practicing next week. Any news on Wyatt? Defense didn't seem the same when he went out. Now there, I agree with you. I think Wyatt going down was a major issue last night, especially once they started kind of focusing on trying to run between the tackles and, you know, the idea being, okay, well, the Packers will probably have to commit numbers to try and stop the run because we're going to be, you know, continuously running through the A gap, etc. But the Packers never really did that, so they were able to keep doing it. It's kind of a catch-22 there. And as far as news on Wyatt, no, there's nothing today. LaFleur doesn't talk today, so we haven't heard from LaFleur. I don't know when we will. Packers put out their media information or, you know, availability, and there was nothing today. So don't know if he'll talk this week at all. Maybe we'll get some reporting around it from either, you know, some of the national guys, Ian Rappaport probably, or maybe somebody like Rob Domofsky will give us something down the stretch here this week. As far as number 9, Watson should, there's a decent chance that they open up his window next week. Now, I do think they'll practice at some point early next week, like that Monday coming back, maybe even Sunday. So I would look for news on Watson early next week. But certainly he's, you know, been on PUP and he can come off now that he has missed those first four games. So again, we'll hopefully find out early next week. Uncultured, what's up? I was having Lindy Infante flashbacks last night. You weren't the only one, man. No doubt about it. Parkmaster, thank you, sir. If they play off coverage, I thought we'd see jumped routes, but we just sat there. Not at all like the first 3 weeks. How do you live with Joe Barry? That is, man, I'm with you. That, to me, that's the biggest frustration on the defensive side of the ball last night. As the game went along, it became blindingly obvious what their approach was going, was trying to be, what they were trying to do. And the fact that not one time did I see a guy try to jump a route. Like, if you get beat, you get beat. At this point, they took you downtown when you were one-on-one a couple times. So, like, yo, if you get beat, hopefully the safety's back there. Go make a play, man. That was disappointing. I very much agree with that. Because the whole point and premise of this defense is to have vision on the quarterback, that rush to get home, and you know the ball had to come out. Micah Parsons had 10 pressures last night. Dak Prescott was able to just get rid of the ball as quick as possible because, you know, the receivers were running short shit and he just threw it. And to your point, not one time did you see someone try and jump it. Yeah, that drove me a little insane. KD, what's up? Do you think my work will give me hazard pay for my distress from the game? Oh, KD. You've been through worse than that, sir. I feel positive. Come on now. You got to buckle up here, man. It's only week four. You got a lot more hazard pay coming to you, sir. Ryan, what's up? Bottom line, Matt LaFleur needs to trust love in the big moments. Interesting. Funny how that, not saying from you, Ryan, but funny how that narrative starts to turn, right? Last week is you can't trust Jordan Love. Now it's you got to trust Jordan Love. It's interesting. Again, I know that's not you, Ryan. I'm just saying. In the ether, in the Packersphere. Just interesting to see that turn. But to your point, I mean, I don't see how he didn't, really. I mean, they marched up and down the field all night. They had to reclaim the lead several times and did. I mean, I get at that the ending sequence is really frustrating, but, you know, they called plays they thought would work. They didn't. Dallas did a nice job. You know, I don't think it was a lack of trust in the quarterback. Shaheem, thank you. I love Carrington Valentine's potential, but he has got to clean up his one-on-one outside tackling. He has a lot of bad moments in his career with that. P.S. Christian, week six, chances? Decent. The chances are decent for Watson against the Bengals. As far as Carrington, I think you're spot on. You're right that he has more than once, and it has happened on several occasions, been caught in a bad position, overrun stuff, not come to balance, been caught like trying to lunge at guys and not really making anything close to a actual tackle that leaves then the ball carrier free to get upfield and pick up way too many yards. I do think he's nowhere near as bad as he showed last night, and I have zero doubt in my mind he will play better as the season goes along. But, man, yeah, last night there were a couple very rough moments. Ohio Mike, thanks, man. I feel like this team will gel more as the season progresses. They're showing a lot more poise, positives than negatives. Also, it felt like the defense last night really missed Wyatt. That seemed to be a turning point. Yeah, just talked about it and very much agree, man. I think things really started to kind of pile up on some of those, you know, interior guys that had to play a lot more. Although I will say, I thought Carl Brooks at least, you know, had a couple of really nice pressures. Obviously, everyone saw the grazing of the face mask, which resulted in a penalty that kept a drive alive, which is insanely frustrating. But I do agree, you know, Wyatt was a significant loss. Mike, I love these kind of complaints. Hated that first down play to Golden. 87 and 85 were killing them all down the middle all game. Why go away from that? Ugh. Because if you keep doing the same thing over and over, Mike, you get picked off or they adjust and they take it away. These are the things that happen. And by the way, they go to Golden on that 4th and 6 with Dobbs on the right running a slant and probably liked that because they've been doing that all game. But, you know, they, being Dallas, rolled that way, knowing that that's probably where the Packers wanted to go. And they hit Golden down the seam for a big first down. And here's the other thing about the play calling. Why they go away from that? Why they call these plays, etc. Remember, they have 10 billion times more information than we do when it comes to the opponent's tendencies, what they like to do in certain situations, what they're trying to take advantage of. It's like, I get it. It's frustrating when things don't work, but, you know, why didn't they call the same plays all the time? Because the defense will take it away eventually and adjust. Soder, what's up? 3 insanely efficient offensive games, 3 lockdown defensive games. Can't lose the points on turnover battle on the road and win in the NFL. You're not wrong, Soder. Per usual, you're not wrong. RCS, what's up? So we're still undefeated at AT&T. Cool. Spoken like a man who didn't even sit through that game and went to a concert last night. You probably made the right call, man. Ed, what's going on? With an old DVD burner, I'm able to sync the game with Wayne and Larry. Technology is a beautiful thing. That's dope, Ed. That is very dope. William, thank you, sir. Do you think Halfley heard all the head coach talk and wanted to make sure he stays here? We've cracked the code. Thank you, William. That's it. That's it. He was like, whoa, 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 ESPN reporting I'm a hot head coaching candidate. Well, I'll make sure that I'm in Green Bay for a while. Probably got kids in school. He doesn't want to take them out right away. Like, I like where your head's at, William. We finally figured it out. Jerry, thank you for being a Care of the G Club member. I think Love absolutely has what it takes to win MVP. Everyone makes mistakes as a quarterback, but he has rare talent, rare poise, and he's incredibly smart. I cannot disagree with anything you just said. Cheeto, facts. We can keep up in a shootout, and in another games, we can muscle up defensively. I see us coming out top in these situations in the future. There's a decent chance. I think some of it comes down to the matchup. You know, the matchup against that Cleveland defensive front was really, really difficult. But, you know, being able to move the ball last night certainly gives you hope that it's not going to be like it was in Cleveland every week. And on the flip side, you've shut down 3 offenses with this defense. And certainly you saw an approach and a quarterback that killed you down in Dallas last night. But again, you're not going to be matching up with them each and every week. Mimsy, what's your theory on Rich's staying power? Well, I talked about it a little bit before, but he, you know, is a great sounding board for LaFleur. He helps in a lot of different areas when it comes to the overall direction and part, you know, coaching all the different, all 3 phases of the team. He is a trusted voice, trusted communicator within the building. And I think, simply put, you know, LaFleur trusts him probably more than anyone else on that staff. So that's my theory. You're asking for theories. That's my theory. Joe, what's up? Morgan get time at left tackle when all the O-line are healthy? I am interested to see if that occurs, right? I don't think it's telling tales out of school that to say that Rashid Walker has been inconsistent to start the year through these first 4 games. Decent chance, as we talked about all summer, that he's going to be allowed to hit free agency in this next upcoming offseason. Perhaps they start kind of putting Jordan Morgan in that kind of same rotation that we saw Sean Ryan was in his first couple years, right? At right guard there, or, you know, which they did with Rashid, you know, when he first started. So, yeah, I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. Let's say that. Rashid, point blank, just needs to play better, more consistently. That certainly needs to happen. All right, everybody, I got to get going. Cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.